should. And we heard the gospel, the good news. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, I'm continuing to preach through that book, line by line, verse by verse. We are called by the gospel, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Paul's referring to the good news. And as many as gladly received his word were baptized. What saved them was gladly receiving the word, the good news that Christ has come and suffered and bled and died and paid the price for all sin, for all time, for all men who would trust in him for their salvation. Well, most of you sitting here, perhaps all of you, have experienced salvation. You answered the call that God sent out. You were led to repentance by the Holy Spirit of God. You repented of your sins. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you called on his name to save you. And you can have the utmost confidence that you're saved, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But why he called us wasn't just to deliver us from hell, as we all know. And it's unfortunate that we spend a great deal of our saved lives, after we know Christ as Savior, running away from him and running away from the responsibility that we have that he called us to. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God means for our lives to give his son glory. And the degree of glory that your life radiates and manifests out in public and in your everyday walk of life, both private and public, is what gives God glory. A godly husband performing as a godly husband before a wife, she sees an example that she should follow, and it's giving glory to God. The godly wife lives a godly life before the husband, exhibiting the kind of a gentle, warm, loving personality that Christ has. And her life radiates before the husband, and it gives glory to God. Now that's why God called us, all of us, that are saved. It's why he called me. Being saved was not difficult, because God's Son did all the work. And when I repented of my sins, of what I am by birth and nature, and came to Christ, I was eternally saved and sealed by the power of God that is in Christ Jesus. But this second part is very difficult, because it involves a daily battle with the flesh. Sometimes you let Christ win. Sometimes you back off and give in to the flesh. But the battle never goes away. As you grow in grace, as the Spirit of God is allowed to have more control in your life through the Word of God and the assurances he gives you in it, your life can change. And you can be transformed into something that the public sees as godly, kind, compassionate, forgiving, merciful, or you can turn into an ogre. Fortunately, salvation is by grace. And fortunately, if you don't give God's Son any glory, you just don't get any reward. But this is what God called us to. It's what he called me to. It's what he called you to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 18. But if our gospel of our good news, to which you were called, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:14, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a God of this world. His name is Satan. He is a spiritual being. He is a fallen angel. He does have a kingdom on this earth. He does have fallen angels, demonic spirits that work on this earth. He has a spiritual kingdom set up. And he is constantly working against God's purposes in his saved children. He doesn't want to see anybody saved. But after they get saved by grace through faith, there's not anything he can do about it. You can't take it away from them. He'd have to pull them out of Christ, and he's not capable of that. But what he can do is to cause you not to change, to cause you to remain with the same personality that you had, the same outward appearance before the public, the same conduct before the public, the same personality before the public, and people never really see Christ in you, and that's how you give glory to God, by letting Christ perform in you and by submitting to his will, which is fully revealed in the Bible, the Word of God, which is why I put all this on a screen and why I preach book by book, line by line, verse by verse, because that's what you need to hear. For we preach not ourselves, Paul said, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You get saved to give glory to God through your Lord Jesus Christ, and you assume the role of a servant. You become someone who wants to please God, and the only way you can please him is by submission to the Spirit of his Son that indwells you. And he left a book down here called the Bible, the Scriptures, to teach you what it is you're supposed to be transformed into, the changes that are supposed to be made in your life. Oh, you'll never be perfect. You'll always sin. You'll always have jealousy. You'll always have envy. You'll always have hate. You'll always have all the attributes of the flesh. You can't get rid of them. But you can, by the grace of God, learn to subdue more and more of them. And you can grow in grace, which is control over the flesh, with each passing year, more than you had the year before. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, before you were saved, you were a child of this world. You were a child, and you were under the God of this world. And you were separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But the gospel shined out into your heart, and God's Holy Spirit opened your heart and gave you an opportunity to make a choice, to either choose Jesus to save you from eternal damnation in hell, or to remain in your present condition and be eternally condemned to hell. And God gave you an opportunity to make a choice, and the power was in the Word, in the gospel that was presented to you. You realized you were sinful. You realized you needed a Savior. You acknowledged it to yourself and to God, and you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted in him to save you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That's when you got saved. That's when you answered the call to the gospel. That's when you made a choice. That's when you chose to put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from eternal damnation in hell. He's the only one who can, and he shined in your heart. Now, he gave something. Have shined in our hearts, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 8, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul, who had been saved for a long time, wrote in Philippians, that I may know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto him. God means for your life to change. He means for you to give up the things of this world, the things that the God of this world loves for you to have. He wants you to give up profanity. He wants you to give up lying. God wants you to give up hate, envy, jealousy, strife. He wants you to surrender your will to him. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I've tried, and I can't. I know you can't. God knows you can't. But God knows that you can try. And God knows you can grow in spiritual strength. God knows, as you study his word, he gives the light, the knowledge, the glory of God in the face or person of Jesus Christ. God knows you can see him in Christ. God knows you can understand what he's like by understanding what Jesus is like. As you study the scriptures and you see what Jesus said about this and that and this and that, remembering it wasn't just what he said while he was here, but what his Spirit said through the writers of the New Testament, especially the writings of Paul, which make up most of the New Testament. So you need to have a knowledge of the one who saved you, You need to see the glory of God that was in the person of Christ. You need to come to respect Christ, to love Him, to admire Him, to want to obey Him, to understand how gracious and good and merciful He is to you. Now you have the ability. It's in an earthen vessel, and the earthen vessel is a mess. The earthen vessel is what tears up marriages. The earthen vessel is what makes you envy and have hate. It's what makes perplexity in your life and troubles and trials and all the things that you have. Your flesh gives you great anxiety, great trouble, great problem. That's where all your problem is after you're saved. It's not in your new spirit. It's not in your flesh. Your flesh will give you nothing but trouble. And you, the soul, the saved soul, sealed with the Spirit, known as the heart, is where all the trouble breaks out between the contest between the Spirit and the flesh. The more you give in to the Spirit, the easier you can face adversity. The more your life will change. The more others can see Christ in you. And believe it or not, in the end, you'll discover it's the best thing that ever happened to you. It's the earthen vessel that gives you all the trouble. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As you learn about God, as you learn who God is and what God is like and how much God loves you and what God can do for you, your life begins to change. You begin to come to church because you realize it's where God wants you and it's what's best for you and it's where God meant for you to be. Notice verse 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels sure don't give honor and glory to God. The earthen vessels, after we're saved, are what has lust in it. It's what has hate in it. Envy, jealousy, perplexity, self-centeredness. All the attributes of the flesh are there, and none of them are any good. But what's inside this earthen vessel is a treasure. It's God, the very person of God, the very Spirit of God, manifested by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is exactly like God and is God, living inside you. So whenever you do something good, why does it give glory to God? It's surely not your earthen vessel that's giving glory to God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power may be of God and not of us. I thank God I have Jesus Christ inside. I thank God that I understand what Paul meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And now, in the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If Christ had not come to live in me by grace, if he were not there to direct my life, if he were not there to submit to, if he were not there to instruct me and teach me in his word, I would still be under the power of darkness, a child of the devil, a son of this world. And anything that ever comes out of my life that's classified as good, it has to be of God, it has to be of Christ, and it had to be Jesus who performed it in me. And so that's the way you give glory to God, by submission, through the word of God, being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and showing the world that there has been a change in your life and that Christ is working in you. If they can't see Christ working in you, then how can you expect them to believe anything you say? Now here comes the bad part. Most people look on this as, why would God do this to me? 95% of the preachers on television preach prosperity. Oh, God is a God of prosperity. He wants to bless us and take care of our finances, clear up all of our financial problems, make marriage a wonderful thing for us, make life great, take us away from all troubles. My God is a great God, they say. Why, he doesn't want us to be distressed. He doesn't want us to be persecuted. He doesn't want us to have all this stuff. And they lie. And they are not of God. Neither do they know God. Because this is the way you give glory to God. That's what you were called to. Whereunto he called you by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're wandering around down here with this treasure of Christ living inside you. And that is the treasure in an earthen vessel. And you give glory to God by what people see in your life as God's power working in you. That the excellency of the power may be of God, but not of us. We are troubled on every side. Everybody has troubles. I've known some of you now for many, many years. Been pastor here for 28 years. I've seen you have a lot of troubles. I've seen your kids have troubles. I've seen you have troubles in marriage. You're always going to have trouble. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Distress means to completely give up, throw up your hands in the air. As I look at each one of you, I remember your troubles. I remember your problems. I remember what you went through. Some of you, I know what you're going through now. Sure, it was bad. But you didn't quit, did you? That's what distress means. You kept on. I can think of families in this church that had inner problems between themselves. And yet the love of God got them through it. Once they got on the other side of it, they loved each other all the more. That gives glory to God. When you throw up in your hands in the air and you're distressed and you say, how could God do this to me? Look what's happened in my life. You're not letting that treasure in an earthen vessel shine through. You're not trusting God. You're giving up. Sure, you're going to be troubled. But don't give up. Don't quit worshiping God. Don't quit serving God. That's what life's all about. That's the way you give glory to God. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed means confused. Why did this happen? How could this happen to this person? Why could this happen? Why did this happen to me? I'm confused here. I don't understand what's going on. Welcome to the club. The sooner you recognize you're a nincompoop, the better off you're going to be. Nincompoop compared to who? Me? Forget it. I'm the chief nincompoop compared to Christ. You don't know what you're doing. You may think you do, but God knows what your problem is. And sure, you're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. That means you didn't just go off in a hole somewhere and die. You let God bring you out of it. And you're here this morning, and you're hearing this. You haven't given up on God. And that's the way you give glory to God. You think the devil doesn't accuse you before the Lord? The devil still has access to God at God's invitation. You think the devil doesn't get great joy and satisfaction when you are troubled and you give up? You think the devil doesn't give great joy when you're perplexed and you give up? That shows how little faith you have. It's your faith in God that gives glory to God. And your faith is measured by how much confidence you have in Him. I'm very thankful for every one of you. Every one of you. Some of you, I've watched you in your lives. I know what you went through. Some of you, I know what you're going through. But you haven't quit. That's why I love you. That's why I'm thankful to be your pastor. That's why you mean a lot to this church. But it never ends. You're still here. Persecuted. I had a fellow come down here one time and he was going to jump all over me. Because in one of the classes, somebody had shown sin as black. His daughter went to the Catholic Church. And this fellow didn't like it because we had indicated that she might have sin in her. And he came down here and was going to whip up on me. Well, I wasn't even the one that taught it, but I would have. But I wasn't worried. You say, well, were you not worried because you knew God was with you? No, it's a little deeper than that. I'd known this man for a long time. Very prominent man here in town. In all of his life, I'd never seen him wear glasses. He was wearing glasses for the first time in his life. I didn't even know him. And you're not supposed to hit a man with glasses. So I figure anybody that was scared of being hit wasn't going to hit me. And so it all turned out all right. I wish he had left the little girl alone. She's had a horrible life because of it. Persecuted. We're all going to be persecuted in one way or another. But if we say, I'm just not going to take any more of this. I give what I'm supposed to give to God. I go to church. I pray. I try to do what God wants. And look at this. Why has God allowed this to happen? Persecuted, but not forsaken. He's always there. And you're still here. I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for you because I know that Christ operates in you. You've given him glory. How much? That's what God's going to assess. But I've seen it. There were times I didn't think you'd stick. There were times I thought you'd quit. There were times I thought you'd let inter-family conflicts drive you to another church. I was wrong. How thankful I am I was wrong. You say, well, how does that give glory to God? I'm still here. Because I've seen God's hand at work. When you see God's hand at work in people's lives, like in the case of Brother and Sister George, and all the other old people who have been faithful to God to the end, it encourages you. And God gets glory out of it. Because there's a purpose in our lives. There's a reason for living. And after you get saved, God means for you to give glory to God. Do you think I'm always trying to get you to come to church and I kid you and everything like that? You think I've got some ulterior motive? You think just because I'm a preacher, I want to hammer on you and make you come to church? God forbid. I want you to learn to come to church because of who it is you're coming to church to worship. It's a measure of what you think of him. It's a measure of what he means to you. God gets glory out of it. God gets glory out of our lives. I've known that hammerhead over there for a long time, Kenneth Eubanks. I've seen him go through some tragic things in life. I thought his grandmother and I both thought he wouldn't make it. And I'm not bragging on him, but he made it. I know. That's why you've made it this far, Kenneth. It's because you have confidence in God and none in yourself. Yet God's gotten glory out of his life. I don't know what I'd do without him. Means a great deal to me. You mean as a personal friend? No, I can't get any money out of that tightwad. But as somebody that's always there when I need him, somebody that's willing to help. God gets glory out of our lives. What's the moral of all? Don't quit. Cast down. Everybody gets put down. You want to know what an immature Christian is? An immature Christian is the first time somebody says something that hurts their feelings. They just get all tore up inside and run away and go somewhere else and hide. They never have grown. They never have understood the purpose that God had in their lives. There are more people that are in need of all these things than they are a blessing to others. And they talk a wonderful game and appear to be very spiritual. But the truth of the matter is, people that are children of God can take it. And they can get over it. Why? But not destroy it. I've been put down. I've been cussed over the phone. I've been cussed face to face. But they didn't kill me. They didn't destroy me. And I'm still here. And God gets glory out of it when you can take adversity. Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Did Paul give glory to God? Yes. Even until the very end. When he was about to be killed to die, he said that the time was there. It was time to depart. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In a Roman dungeon, about to be beheaded by Nero, he asked that the books and parchments be brought to him when Timothy came. It was John Mark's gospel. He was a man who was about to die, and he still wanted to know more about Jesus. Have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You say, well, did God get glory out of him? Yes. Because the Spirit of Christ that was in that man led him to write all those epistles that I preached from, that millions of preachers have preached from. It's not Paul. Paul himself would have always told you he wanted nothing from it. But it was the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that indwelled him. And it was Christ who wrote those through him. Did Paul suffer adversity? You think you've got problems? He was beaten many times with 39 stripes, save one. 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes. They wouldn't beat you with 40. His own people hated him and despised him. He went through cold, adversity, robber bands, thrown in prison, betrayed by his own brethren. Yet he never quit. Never. And he died with his faith in Jesus Christ. God got great glory out of that man's life because he went through trials, tribulations, and the life of Christ was manifested in him. How much of Christ's life is going to be manifested in you when you die? How much of Christ's life is manifested in your life right now? How much of Jesus can people see in you in your everyday walk of life? How's your kindness? How's your love? How's your compassion? How's your forgiveness? It's Christ in you. That's the glory of God. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Well, it was. Of all of them in the Bible, this man, among all the apostles, chosen out of season, as he himself said, to be an apostle, made one thing very clear, that Christ indwelt him. He had to indwell him. No man could have endured what he endured had not Jesus been there. And this same Jesus who delivered him is the same Jesus that indwells you. He's the same Jesus who suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins. And now he's alive in you again. Surely, we can make an effort in our daily lives to please him and to let him change us into what we need to be. He doesn't need to change. We need to change. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Well, he died. All the apostles died. And from the historical aspect, they apparently all died martyr's death. What good was their life? They wrote the New Testament. What good was their life? You wouldn't even be saved if the Spirit of Christ in them hadn't written this book. You wouldn't even be here to hear it preached if Christ hadn't worked in them. When they died, they gave glory to God. Not because they were special people, but because they believed. And because they wanted their lives to be changed. Because they wanted to be different from the way they came into this world. We, having the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus Christ, for all things are for your sakes. Now you want to give glory to God? Here it is. For all things are for your sakes. Christ died for your sake. He wrote these through Paul and the other writers of the New Testament for your sake. Why did he do it? Well, so you'd get saved. Well, is that all there is to it? No. That the abundant grace, you really appreciate what you've got, what was bought and paid for by the blood of Christ? That the abundant grace might, to the thanksgiving of many. Redound to the glory of God. And that's the first sheet, and I'm going to stop there because the hand's coming up on 12. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to the glory of God. Are you thankful for your salvation? Does the suffering of Christ on that cross and God's love for you that was manifested in His Son who came and fought against all odds and all obstacles and lived a perfect sinless life and then laid it on the cross for your sins so that you might have salvation by grace, so that God might make it a gift, so that gift could come and live in a treasure, in an earthen vessel, and there be manifested to the world. How can we expect the world to believe we are children of God if they can't see God in us in the person of Christ? We can at least be thankful for what we have. Why do I ask you to come to church? Because the Bible indicates you should. And why is the Bible so important? Because it was written by the Spirit of Almighty God in Christ, who has been preeminent from the foundation of the earth. That's why. Why do I encourage you to give? It gives glory to God. Why do I encourage you to come to church? It gives glory to God. Why do I encourage you to fight against the flesh? It gives glory to God. Because you're letting Christ work in you and do the things you know you need to do. God gets glory out of your life when people see a change in it. God gets glory out of your life when you manifest that you really are a child of God. That you really do care for His work and His purposes. It's a personal, individual choice. It goes beyond bloodlines. It goes beyond the flesh. It goes beyond mother and dad and brothers and sisters and ancestors. It's a personal thing between you and God. As much as we want our children to be what God wants, it's going to be a personal matter between them and God. And as much as we want our parents to be what God wants us to be, it's between God and our parents. It's an individual, personal thing. I hope that each one here knows Christ as their Savior. I hope you can truthfully say, yes, I know Jesus is my Savior. If you can't, we're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to understand that God wants to save you from hell, but He wants to save you to something. He wants to come into your life and transform you. He wants to save you by grace, by His blood sacrifice on the cross. And in this silent moment of prayer, if you're willing to acknowledge your sinful condition and go to the Jesus who is alive with all power in heaven and earth and ask Him to save you, there's no reason He will not save you. You need to come to Him yourself personally and ask in these few silent moments of prayer. Heavenly Father, those of us who are saved are praying for those who are not. I pray, Heavenly Father, if someone has come to You this morning in prayer, seeking the salvation that You alone can give through the blood sacrifice and offering of Your Son, then I pray they'll come forward to profess Him as Savior. For those of us, Lord, who are saved, as You deal with our hearts, I pray, Lord, we'll see the necessity, the need, that we'll have the desire to let Your Spirit work in us, that Your treasure might be seen by the world. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. As Kay and